You'd open your Bibles, please, to Exodus 12. Verse 14 says, "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them, except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the inspired scriptures. We realize that this chapter has definite connection to us in the grace age because it certainly is a chapter that points to the Lord Jesus Christ, which you've revealed in your inspired New Testament. So we pray that we would understand tonight exactly the dynamics that are applicable from this text, and we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus Christ was here on earth the night he was betrayed, he celebrated the Passover meal with his own disciples. At that meal, he took some unleavened bread and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said this, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup of wine, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." When you read that text in Matthew, and when you read some statements that are made further in the New Testament, there can be little doubt that the Passover was a sacred ceremony that pointed to Jesus Christ. That Passover that starts pointing to Jesus Christ starts in Exodus chapter 12. And when you read through this 12th chapter of Exodus, one thing that you spot when you go down through these verses is that there's a considerable amount of repetition. The instructions, for example, of chapter 12, verses 14 to 16 are closely paralleled with instructions given in verses 17 to 20. There are some differences, but there are a whole lot of similarities and a lot of repetition. Why is that? Why is there so much repetition and restatement? And the answer is this. God wanted these instructions of the Passover meal carefully embedded in the minds of his people. Because according to God, this is a very sacred meal that memorialized not only the salvation of a nation, but this is a meal that also memorializes the salvation of a sinner through the sacrifice of God's own Son. I believe that's the key to understanding this text. As we said, Jesus Christ himself celebrated the Passover with his own disciples, and he basically said, "This meal is all about me." And the Apostle Paul, in his development of grace theology, specifically said, "Jesus Christ is our Passover." That's why this is so sacred. That's why it's so serious, because it pointed to the Son of God. And this meal was to be conducted in a very precise order. It was not one to be carried out lightly. In fact, right here in Exodus, it says, if a person does not follow these instructions precisely, they are to be cut off from the congregation of Israel. The thing that you see when you go through these verses is this Passover meal was to be celebrated very precisely in the exact way that God prescribed, because it has national and individual application specifically in pointing to the sacrifice of his own Son. Now, this Feast of the Unleavened Bread was a distinct and separate ordinance that was closely connected to that Passover blood that we studied last week when God said, "When I see that blood, I'll pass over you." But it's intricately connected. This unleavened bread was to take place immediately following the shed blood salvation. So this feast, in this context, is one who has experienced that blood salvation and escaped the death sentence. It remembers that sacrifice and looks forward to a new relationship with God based on an unleavened relationship. Now, it's pretty clear when you go down through these verses, you couldn't just celebrate this any way you wanted. It's pretty obvious that the specifics of this had to be celebrated and observed exactly the way God wanted. And I've read, in preparation for this, the Jewish Messianic Passover Seder that is celebrated by the Jews to this very day. And it appears to me, from having gone through it, that it has become a ritual that includes a lot of man-made things. For example, in the service, you drink 4 cups of wine. The tradition of having 3 matzahs, and a matzah is a piece of unleavened bread. It's a hard, thin-type wafer. You have 3 of them on a plate during this Seder, one for Abraham, one for Isaac, and then one for Jacob. But it seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, in the remembrance of this Passover Seder, the Jews have missed the whole point. They've missed the point of its connection to Jesus Christ. And if they understood this text properly, they couldn't help but see it. So as best as we can, we want to go through it tonight and present to you the 6 facts that develop this Passover meal that are so vital to Christ, vital to Israel, and vital to us. Fact number 1, the Passover meal was to start on a specific day. Notice verse 14 says, "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord." This was to start this day as a memorial. Not this day might be, this day should be, this day will be. This day will be a memorial that will be specifically pointing to this Passover that you just sacrificed, that lamb, they shed its blood, and that starts a brand new relationship with God in which you are no longer under the death penalty. And it's right then, on that day, that I want the beginning of this Passover feast of unleavened bread celebrated. Now, you can't start that on any day you want. In fact, if you missed the starting day, everything else would be misaligned in your relationship with God. In other words, the Israelites were to leave Egypt on the 14th day of the first month. If you got the date wrong, then everything else God demands doesn't even make sense. It's not even possible. What this immediately tells us is there's a specific timing with God for everything. There was a specific moment when Jesus Christ was born into this world. In fact, it was called in Scripture the fullness of time. When Paul talks about the entire prophetic program of God, he speaks of it as being times and epochs. But there was one specific day that started the relationship with God. And there was one specific day in which that sinner appropriated that blood sacrifice to his own life. And that day was the day that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That day was the day that Christ went to that cross and you accepted that by faith. And that begins a whole new relationship with God. That's your start date. If you miss that date, you don't have a relationship with God. If you miss the blood sacrifice, you miss everything else when it comes to the blessings of God. That is why it is so important that this be carried out on this day will be a memorial to you. The second fact that's brought out is this was to be celebrated as a permanent ordinance. Verse 14 says, "Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." All subsequent Jewish generations were to celebrate the Passover as a permanent ordinance, which would indicate this is an ordinance from eternity. This eating of the unleavened bread is as serious as a law from heaven. And that's the language behind the word ordinance in Hebrew. In other words, this is actually a decree from heaven that was to be celebrated permanently. God didn't want these Israelites to get in the promised land and just forget about the fact that it was that blood that saved them. It was the blood that gave them opportunity to have a relationship with God. Now, we'll admit that Israel's done a pretty good job in history of celebrating the Passover. They do it every year. As I just mentioned, they have their Seder. But they were not to just go through the physical motions of it. They were to carefully understand the meaning of it. According to the context, they were to think back on the night when they put that blood on the doorpost and they put that blood on the lintel and they ate the lamb and the unleavened bread. God wanted them to remember how he delivered them from Egypt. In many ways, she's done a good job of doing that. But she's missed a key point. She's missed the fact that all of that pointed to Jesus Christ. And the truth is, the church has done a lot better job with communion in connecting that unleavened bread to Jesus Christ than Israel has. The Passover is to be celebrated every year because God wanted his people to remember that he can be trusted as the saving God. And he wanted them to think about the fact that it was that blood sacrifice that made it possible for them to have a living relationship with him. That clearly points to Christ. And the problem today is Israel goes through physical motions of the Passover. But she has not connected the dots of the generational progression to Jesus Christ. There are no more sacrifices for sin that Christ has died. And the only thing that we can do now is remember that death. And that's what that unleavened bread, that's what that cup does. Israel has missed this point. The generational biblical progression would lead to the birth of a Jewish Messiah. And if they would have kept this and kept thinking about this and kept thinking about the unleavened bread, which we'll speak of in just a moment, they would have realized this all points to a lamb. And this Messiah would be the one who would come into the world, who could shed his blood and could save Israel and save any sinner. Had the significance of the Passover been truly understood, Christ would have never been rejected. But when he came to his own did not receive him because she missed the point of the Passover meal. She doesn't understand that her entire salvation is found in Jesus Christ. He came into that land and he shed his blood. He died on the cross to save that nation. That nation rejected him. Don't you make the same mistake. Which brings us to the third fact. The Passover required that unleavened bread be eaten for 7 days. Notice verse 15 says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. I want to tell you, it's quite obvious that this matter of leaven is a major contextual deal here. It's mentioned 8 times between verses 14 to 20. There are 2 different Hebrew words used that are translated leaven. One is seor, which refers to old leaven, and the second is hometz, that refers to sourness of the leaven. But it obviously was mandatory that this no leavened bread must be eaten, and it's so emphatic that God said, I want it out of your house. I don't even want you risking the possibility or having the temptation of eating leavened bread. And it certainly illustrates that as soon as that blood has been applied, that leaven should be quickly removed, and in fact, positionally speaking, is quickly removed. Now, the actual leaven in Bible times refers to a yeast that we call starter dough today. It was a fermented type of dough made in various ways. And when you would put it in with the flour and water and add salt, it would kind of puff up and it would make it nice and fluffy. And the big question that you have to ask, anybody has to if they're a thinking person, is why is it that God is so emphatic that you have a no leaven week? Why is it that you cannot eat leaven? And why is it that you've got to get this leaven out of your house? Well, there are 3 reasons. First of all, to have an entire week when you're forced to make sure you don't eat leavened bread would mean you have an entire week to think about your relationship with God. And you'd have to sit there and say, you know, if I'm going to have a relationship with God, there can be no impurity at all because God will not tolerate impurity in a relationship with Him. People normally eat leavened bread. It tastes better. It's more filling. So if you don't eat leavened bread for an entire week, it would remain, you'd have to reflect upon what God had done. Secondly, leaven is a picture of sin. That's not just some application that we're making here. This is a biblical point. Leaven is often used in the Bible as a reference to sin. And sin gets into people and it gets into situations and it works secretly and silently and it begins to puff them up with an arrogant pride and they rise just like dough rises and is puffed up. And God says, if you're going to have a relationship with me, it's not going to be some proud, puffed up relationship. If you're going to have a relationship with me, it's going to be humble and you're going to trust me. But thirdly, this Passover leaven is referring to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Passover, and he had no sin. So for an entire week, a mind that understands the Passover should reflect on the fact, in order for this sacrifice to save from sin, this sacrifice has to be sinless. There's no leaven in a sacrifice that can deliver us. And that is why no human can save himself. You can't do enough good works in this world to save yourself because we're all human and we're all sinful and God will not have a relationship with anything sinful. If we're going to have a Passover that we're going to partake of, that's going to ultimately be able to save us and give us a relationship with God, it's going to have to be an unleavened Passover. It's going to have to be a pure sacrifice. And God says, that is pointing to my Son. My Son is the pure sacrifice. There's no spot or blemish found in Him. He's totally unleavened. And that is why God says, I'm serious. That if anyone partakes
of leavened bread during this time, he's to be cut off from Israel, banished, excommunicated, or executed. In other words, what God is saying is, you're not going to have a living relationship with me if you have leaven in it. Nobody's going to be connected to me if the relationship contains sin. In other words, to have a relationship with me, that sin must be gone.
One Jewish writer said there were five categories of things that could get a person cut off from God. If you tampered with the sacred time of things, you could be cut off from God. If God said you were to celebrate this on one day and you didn't do it, you could get cut off from God. If you tampered with the sacred substance of things, you could get cut off from God. If you ate leavened bread, you could be cut off from God. If you tampered with purification rituals, or if you tampered with worship and worship in some illicit way, or if you tampered with immoral things that were prohibited, you could be cut off from God. In this case, if you eat unleavened bread, you have a specific time at stake when you're not supposed to eat, and you have a specific substance at stake that you are not supposed to eat. So if you do eat leavened bread, it's a serious violation of what God has prescribed. But the illustration that God's trying to drive home to Israel and to us is you can't have any leaven in any relationship with God. There cannot be any sin to have a relationship with God, and if there's sin, there cannot be salvation. You can't have sin in the life of a person and be blessed of God. There can be no leaven in one's life. And here's our problem. The problem that we all have is, how would that be possible? How is it possible for us to be in the presence of a holy God without one bit of sin in our lives? How would it be possible for any of us to have a relationship with God where there's no leaven in our lives? You know what you're made of. I know what I'm made of. How can we possibly expect to have a relationship with God where there's no sin?
And the answer to that question is, we'd have to trust in an unleavened sacrifice.
There would have to be some person who would come in and take our place and shed his precious blood that would be acceptable to God, who could give us that kind of status with God that would be holy and pure. And that one is Jesus Christ. And I tell you this on the authority of the Word of God. If you do not trust totally, completely, and only in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, you'll be cut off from God forever. God is not going to monkey around with this. This is His system of salvation. The Passover and the shed blood is His system of redemption. It is for Israel, it is for us. And this all points to Christ. So if you do not accept Jesus Christ, you will be cut off from God. Which brings us to the fourth fact. The Passover required 2 days to be deemed as very special. Notice verse 16 says, on the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared by you. There were to be 2 separate days of corporate assembly worship. Days are spelled out there. One of them was the first, and the other was the seventh or the last day. In a true relationship with God, there must be corporate worship. There must be a corporate gathering. And the thing that is emphasized, that is brought out when you have these days, is there was to be no work. It is brought out specifically on the first day and also on the seventh day. Make sure no work at all shall be done. Why? What's the significance of that? Why should you stop any form of work on that day? Because, ladies and gentlemen, this points to Christ, and no works can save you. There's not a thing we can do to be saved. We can't be good enough for God. We can't work our way to heaven. We can say, well, I'll be as good as the next person. I'm just as good as they are. Great. Hope you're better than they are. But the fact of the matter is, that's not going to get you to heaven. We're saved by the grace of God. The work has been done for us by that Passover lamb. Works could not save Israel any more than they can save us. So God says, what you have to do, if you want a relationship with me, is stop working and start trusting in that sacrifice and in that blood and in that unleavened person. And you take 2 days of corporate worship and you just think about that. You think about the fact that there was this blood of a lamb who was not in any way impure. And this blood of the lamb also included a lamb that you eat bread that is not leavened. And there's no hindrance at all in a relationship with God. It's that lamb that can save you. And since we know Jesus Christ is our Passover, you have to help think, wonder what the emphasis of the 2 days are. What are 2 days that are critical to Israel's salvation? What are 2 days critical to our salvation? Well, the 2 days could refer to the first coming of Christ to Israel and could refer to the second coming of Christ to Israel. The 2 days could refer to the two main delivering days for Jewish believers. There will be Jewish believers will be raptured when Christ raptures the church. And then ultimately, there will be a second coming of Christ when he will take a residency in Jerusalem. And those Jews also will be given all the blessings of the land. But there are two special days that clearly are connected to this Passover lamb that are connected to us. And those 2 days would be the day he died and the day he arose. Because those 2 days right there, ladies and gentlemen, were 2 days in which he finished all of the work necessary to save us. While he was hanging on that cross, he cried that point out. It is finished. And the fact that no work was to be done clearly teaches us it's all done for us. All the work has been accomplished. There's no more work for us to do. All we need to do is believe in him. In 2 days, his death and resurrection, he proved that. Which brings us to the fifth fact. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread was to be celebrated on the precise day of deliverance. You'll notice verse 17, "You shall also observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance." This was a very sacred day. And the fact of the matter is, to save this nation or save an individual, there has to be a focus on the shed blood and sacrificial lamb, and there has to be a focus on the non-existence of any leaven. So in order for God to save, and he says, I want you to remember this, there is the substitutionary death of the lamb who shed his blood without blemish. And there's also the impartation of you taking in his bread without leaven. So in order for you to save, there can be no sin at all in your relationship with God. And again, since we're all sinners, how is that possible? How would it be possible for us to be connected to a holy God when we have sin and we know we're sinners? And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Apostle John said, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. The truth is not in you. How would it be possible for us to have a standing with God in which he would view us as not being leavened? It is only through the sacrifice of his precious Son. And he said to Israel in verse 17, I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. That's an interesting Hebrew word because it indicates that he wants to make this nation an army and a force for him. And that's what we should be, ladies and gentlemen. The emphasis of Exodus 12 is we should be an army and force that cries out to this world, you can't be saved by your works. You can only be saved by the grace of God. You can only be saved by trusting in that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can be saved. That's what this Passover is all about. It's about reminding the people of Israel that you can't be saved in and of yourself. It's unleavened bread you're eating. It's blood that you shed. And again, we must see the failure here, not only of Israel, but most people to connect this to Christ. This all points to Christ. Now, it's true that every year at the Passover, Israel remembers her deliverance from Egypt. And she does it at her Passover meals. And that's a great thing to do. But she has missed the full meaning for her eternal deliverance. Because this Passover all pointed to the spotless, unleavened lamb who could be partaken of through faith. And that's why when Jesus with his disciples, the night that he was betrayed, he handed them a piece of unleavened bread and he said, "This is my body. This is what you need to understand. This whole Passover thing is about me. It's an eternal ordinance." Which brings us to the sixth fact. The Passover is so important, the elements are carefully restated. In verses 18 to 20, there are four realities brought out. It was to be eaten for 7 straight days. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why God is doing this is he wanted these people to think. Think 7 days and just think about this. How did you get delivered? It wasn't by anything you did. It was that blood of that lamb. And when God saw the blood of that lamb, that death sentence was gone from you. And think about the fact that this is an unleavened relationship that you have with me. It has made you pure and clean. Think about it.
think about it for 7 straight days. Secondly, no leaven is to be found in the house for 7 days. And certainly, if we're going to have intimate fellowship with God, there could be no leaven that we are continually having in our lives. Thirdly, whoever eats any leavened thing during this time is to be cut off from the congregation. Verse 19 is important, and it restates that. That person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. It doesn't matter if you are an Israelite, a native, or alien. There is no leaven that can exist in a relationship with God. And that's why your works will never save you. No leaven can exist in a relationship with God. There are no exemptions to that rule. You could be a nice person, a religious person, a member of a church. You could have gone to church for years. You could have been involved in all kinds of activities and religious stuff and all kinds of good community activities. But the fact of the matter is, that will not save you. Because with all of that, you're still leavened. And as Isaiah said, our works are as filthy rags. We need a sacrifice that can get us out of this leavened state. And that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. And the final reality is no leaven will ever be eaten during this time in all your dwellings. Verse 20, you shall not eat anything leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Now, by virtue of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has specifically connected this to him, we cannot conclude this without saying this. You must believe in Jesus Christ or you're cut off from God. He is the only way to being clean. He is the only way to having sins washed away. He's our Passover. Our problem here is we're all sinners. And the question is, how are we going to get rid of that stain? We can't. But he can, and he does. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he arose. That's what proves he's the only one who can save us from our sins. All the other religions have religious leaders. None of them died and came back from the dead 3 days later. And Jesus said, that will prove to you that I am who I claim to be. He is the Savior, and if you will believe on him, he's your Passover, and he will save you from all of your sins. May we pray. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, right now you may do that. Right where you sit, you just pray something like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. I thank you that Christ died on that cross for me. And right now, I invite Jesus Christ into my life to be my Savior. Our Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you for grace that we see in this great chapter of Exodus 12. We don't deserve what you've done for us. We do not deserve Jesus Christ coming into this world. We do not deserve him paying the price for our sins, him completing the work necessary to give us a pure relationship with you. But tonight, Lord, we say thank you. And may we always remember that until we're out of this world and one day at home to be with him. We pray your blessing on the baptism service to follow, and we will thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.